Welcome to our talks, a spontaneous conversation with an expert in collaboration, innovation, or topics we're just curious about. With these talks, we want to share knowledge, best practices, fresh ideas, opinions, or new ways of working together to give inspiration to our followers and members.
Today, for our Business of Collaboration podcast, we are in the TSH Collab co-working space in Amsterdam, together with the two founders of the Bates Conference, Lana Christine Jelenjeff, a community alchemist, and Veronica Guggen, a marketing strategist. We will talk about why they started together the organization of the Bates Conference and how Lana and Veronica built a community for this conference. Please join us at the Bates Conference on Wednesday, 29th of May, at the TSH Collab in Amsterdam. Welcome, Lena. Welcome, Veronica, to the Business of Collaboration podcast.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
So this is a conversation between us because you are organizing the Base Conference here in Amsterdam.
Yes,
yeah. 29th of May.
29th of May. So how did the idea come together to do this conference together?
Well, I would say, Veronica, you have to start this off. It was your brainchild. And
I'm growing my company, and I'm also working with scale-ups, funny enough. But looking around was quite hard to find the right type of information or the right type of help. Maybe you did find the information, but it's hard to find a community where you can bounce ideas, feel you're not alone, just have someone to hold your hand, basically. And I just started with a need, basically. And I start looking around, asking people who are interested, do you experience the same thing? And I do know Lana, how long now?
More than two years.
And we start the conversation. We actually spoke with several other people. And we ended up, the two of us, we do think quite a lot the same. We have the same values and we believe in the same thing. So it became very organic to start working together and bounce ideas and to come up with this concept. So I wouldn't say Base is just mine. Maybe I had the idea, but I wouldn't be Base without Lana.
So it was, yeah, when Veronica mentioned that, hey, you know, this is what I'm noticing. There's a problem that, you know, that we can address too with the conference. I said, oh, you know, I'm interested, but let's put an angle on community here, you know, because we've seen a lot of conferences and taken part in, you know, a number of them. But what I don't, you know, personally, what I find lacking is that you get a big high of being in a conference, and then you get a dip afterwards. So it's like a big depressive state after, you know, after being energized and inspired. And then the next few days you're like, okay, so what's next?
And what happens?
Exactly, yeah.
I do attend quite a lot of conferences, and it's amazing the energy that is there and the people that you're meeting. But it's so hard to follow up. And I feel, also with my clients, the hardest part is following up afterwards. And here is where we sat down and thought, how can we change this? What can we bring to the table, into the conversation? And this is what we said, we want to have a community. And actually what we really want is to have a discussion about all of this. We want to have a discussion between peers, between the policymakers, the ones that actually create the infrastructure and the ground for us to be able to thrive,
and also experts. With experts, you know, knowing that there are a lot of people that are further off in the field and in the different industries, and yeah, it would just be nice to tap into their wealth of knowledge and experience without, of course, you know, going through very big, you know, very big institutions that would charge an I don't know how much amount just for consultancy services.
Not gonna throw away most of it.
So for us, it was like there is a need for those who are in between, you know, those who have already a profitable idea, who's expanding their business and would really like to, you know, to grow it. And then from those, you know, from those people, who do you go to? What type of support is available? And
that collaborated also with a lot. We found quite a lot of data that shows this scale-ups, actually, they produce quite a lot of jobs, and they do bring quite a substantial amount to the economy. However, if you look at the numbers, how many startups became scale-ups, that's 1 in 10. So it's a lack in this industry of help. Not in this niche, we are missing help.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems we have a party.
I am wondering, because one of the we can say competitive advantage or the difference you have with other conferences is exactly this community building. So before the conference already, you started to build the community with some webinars and with newsletters and some talks and posts on LinkedIn to create this group of participants and speakers all together and all mixed.
Yes.
So
yes.
You can explain more about how you create this community and how you bring this all together. So how, because I can understand the hype of the conference because I have myself, and I think it's not only the conferences as well as when you have a brainstorming session or a bootcamp or hackathon or something, and then it's then what?
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, maybe before going that, we should explain a little bit what BASE stands for, because that will
give
make
more
sense.
Of a in, yeah.
We'll explain how we structured everything. BASE is actually, we played around a little bit with the letters and the. And the words, BASE stands for Build, Advance, Sustain, Elevate. And these are the four pillars we build a conference upon, and we are creating a community, actually, and the webinars. And the first one, the build, is about
relationships and resource management. So building that very crucial part of your business. It means, you know, looking at company culture, how are you as a leader? How do you deal with teams? How do you address conflicts within teams? And of course, other parts of resource management as well. So, you know, how do you have that infrastructure or system that can help you, help you in getting through, you know, the day-to-day grind of a business.
And then we have advanced, that is about marketing and sales. We do know that when you are scaling, either you are entering new markets, launching new products, or your sales, the demand is there, but how do you manage all of that? And that's second.
Then the third is sustaining growth and profitability, of course. I think that's a very, you know, a common knowledge that we need profit to drive the business. And there's also the question of, but where do we get profit? You know, how do we get funding? Are there other funding options available? So these are just core questions on profitability.
But the core is that you do need to invest money. So if you really want to have a growth, you do need to do something else. You do need to change the status quo. And how do you do that? And there are several ways in which you can achieve it. And actually, this is the webinar that we're going to have next week about. And the last pillar is the
innovation. And also innovating businesses through innovation. How can you be more creative? You know, how can you be adding in the element of technology in your
That's
business?
That's my part, I think.
Yes, you are. Yes, you
That's
are.
That's your part. We are living in a period where you can't really differentiate. You can't eliminate it. It's an integrated part of your business, and you need to be aware of that. And you can actually spend less time or less resources if you make sure you have the right technology in place.
This is in essence the base.
This
of
is base.
Base. And what we realize is, you know, this all four pillars need to be addressed. So it depending on the needs of a company, of course, but all these four pillars makes up a holistic, you know, picture of what a company needs to really expand and to really grow.
We do need all of them, even if maybe at a particular point you're going to focus more on the build or maybe on the sustain, but you do need all of them in order to really grow.
Yeah.
And to answer your initial question is how we create the community. We are having every couple of weeks online strategy sessions, we call them, that are webinars with an expert on each of the topics. So we had Lisa Dempsey for
build,
and she talked about relationships and how to relationships not only in the terms of relationship with your employees, but also with your providers, with customers. It's a different approach to how do you manage, basically.
Yeah, I like this webinar because it's coming to the topic of the podcast of business of collaboration, because he was explaining like this 360 collaboration approach. Like your business is not only your customers, but
exactly.
You have to keep a very good relationship with your investors, with your partners, with your customers, with suppliers, with everyone. Is part of your business.
Yes.
And it's about collaboration and even competitors. As you mentioned, is think about collaboration.
Yeah.
Instead of competition.
Exactly.
Yes. And also in my business, I do believe in that.
Like, we're very glad that Lisa shared her knowledge as one of the Deloitte's Bold Leader awardees.
Yeah.
So for us, it was really crucial that her message of, you know, how can we be leaders in our businesses and really reframe that, you know, competition mentality to collaboration. So that was the first one, and then
by the way, she's one of the speakers.
Yes,
the conference.
We also had on how we can leverage PR,
mm-hmm.
and that was also widely received. Strategy session by Simone,
and that's about basically the second pillar.
Yeah, on sales and marketing, and then the third one we'll have Eliana, and she would be talking about, you know, how to look for funding.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not really more on the, you know, traditional sense of funding. So it's also a very interesting topic, and that would happen pretty soon.
It will happen
on the 30th.
Next week.
And then we also have on May 14th, Jeremy Berman will be talking about innovation. So he's a co-founder of DreamsEdu, and it's an online learning and community platform. So his lens would be, you know, how can you use technology to leverage your business?
And I am now, maybe not for Jeremy, but the rest, all of you are women. It's something like
that. Actually, no.
We're trying to
Simone Vincenzi
to balance as much as we can.
We are trying. So let's make it clear: it's not a conference for women.
Yeah,
we are women.
Yes.
We are speaking to everyone. We are speaking with companies that are growing, with entrepreneurs that want to go to the next level, and that's our focus. But we do believe we want to make an impact, and how we do that is by making sure we have a balanced representation of female and male between the speakers. And if you go on the website and you look at the speakers, you're gonna see. We do have, we believe, a healthy number,
yeah.
A mix.
Yeah.
And we did that. It was quite hard, actually. It was quite hard to do that. But we communicated what we want, and we approached different people, and
we
managed to get there.
Yeah, I think this is one of the things I'm trying to do with the magazine, to interview the professors or the startups or the people working on corporates. And to have a 50-50 visibility of men and women. And I agree with you, it's very, very difficult to get the woman.
Well, it's not that they're not there. I guess that it's also the thing. It's because of also the industries. So we've noticed that, like, say, for example, in innovation, it was just so quick to find, you know, men who are in the innovation field. You know, it's like, oh. But in build, we had quite a lot of female speakers who just, like, filled in the slots immediately. So I think it's also the industry, you know, that in that sense. But yeah, we really made it as a to make sure that we have a balanced this mix of speakers.
So what was a conscious decision from our part to make sure we have that?
Yeah, very good. I think that's very important to have these role models and this balance in a visible way, even if it's not maybe the case on reality. Mm-hmm. But to have to this visibility.
I think it's changing, and I think we are far from being there. But let's be very clear about that. But we do see small improvements, and that's good. But we still have a long way to get there.
Yeah. So you questioned a while ago about, you know, building the community.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that we realize is, if we are to create, you know, a network to support each other, then that network needs to communicate with each other. So it's not just, you know, during the conference, but also before and after the conference. So how do we get people engaged? How do we get them to understand what are the needs of other industries? And it's also why we've created a survey, scale up survey, that we're putting out to get a better feel of the landscape for those who are in the SMEs or scale-ups. And to really know, okay, how can we develop this community? You know, we have our vision that it will be a hub where, different, CEOs and...
C-level people, basically. The management team of companies.
Yeah, can connect with each other, can support each other, you know.
Learn
from each other,
and do business with each other.
So this is an initial, you know. We don't have a full recipe for it right now. In essence, it's still we're very much open to explore possibilities.
Let's say we put it out there, and actually let's take advantage of this podcast. And you're gonna probably share the link to the survey and help us identify what are your pains, where do you need help. What do you need us? How can we help you? Or where can we go and ask for help? Because what we did since in the last 6 months, this is what we are going and talking with a lot of people. We did and identify a couple of pain points, if you want to call them like that, or areas where we need help with. And I'm including myself here. And we start having the ears of the right people. So let's do something with all this work. Let's not
and at the same time involve the government support.
Yeah.
You know, find out what is available in the first place, who to go to. You know, so these are basic questions, and this is what we also want to provide. That it will be more of that, you know, hub for both policymakers and business owners, and to have that sharing of knowledge and support accessible for everyone.
And what we noticed is it's about a mind shift. You do need to start looking at things differently. But look at all the big companies. Look at Google, look at Facebook, that they started small, they grow. All of them, they actually have a specific department in their organization that is the liaison between policymakers and the company. Why do we need to grow? We don't need to wait until we are that big to create this. We already need to start educating ourselves to think differently and to approach them, because there are so many resources that we start now finding out about them that are there for us to tap into and to help us grow, but we are not prepared to think like that. So
I am very happy, like, you came with this. I think I will quote you the big but we need to start from the beginning, having this conversation with the policymakers. So from your perspective, how a policy can help a business?
Well,
there are several ways.
Yeah, there are. And to be honest, this is also one of the biggest parts of the conference. So we've invited speakers coming from the government to talk about this topic specifically. So there's there's representatives from the city of Amsterdam on the economic board, and they'll be discussing how, you know, we can have the breeding ground for scale-ups and the startups to grow.
So that's the opportunity for the room to actually ask them questions and them to learn what to do. We also have Fatima Elatik, that she's actually, she will help us understand how to speak. I'm trying to make quotation mark here, but no one will see me. how to talk with the government, how to actually them to hear us, because they do use a different language than us, and we do need to learn to speak with them. I think it's easier for us to adapt than it is for them. And we also have High Commissioner Bert,
yes,
coming, and he has the think tank and also is part of several organizations. And actually the conference, I don't know if you know, but will be after the European elections. So he will come and actually present what's the landscape and how can answering your question, how can we utilize what is there in our benefit? And when I say our benefit, I mean the small businesses or the scale-ups or the SMEs. But also what you need to, there are different funds or different
channels where you can find
the money. You can get money from the government. We're actually going to have one of the speakers, Nick Raymond. Actually, what he's helping companies get subsidies, for example, and that's one very direct way the government can help you grow your company. And we do have other speakers there.
This is also why we've set up the conference in such a way that we can have access to those information. So it is introductory, of course. But we're hopeful that because it opens now the doors to, you know, better connections, better collaborations, we'll also have the speed mentoring during the conference where some of the speakers have already agreed to be mentors, and there'll be a 15-minute one-on-one session with the speakers. So this gives also another chance to ask deeper questions and to approach your company's pain points or challenges from a different lens.
And by the way, the High Commissioner Byrne, he will be one of the mentors. So that's the moment to ask questions.
So you are working in your own business and doing the base conference.
Yes.
So how do you combine and all these roles? How do you manage all the energy?
Right now we would say we're really in hyper mode.
Adrenaline.
Yeah, that's one. But we also have a very good team of people around, you know, supporting us. So we would not be able to accomplish everything that we've done so far without a team of people who believes in the vision and are very much willing to share, you know, their time, their energy, and making it a reality. So that for us is also a big thing, you know, that we have that. And also, of course, the speakers are, we get energized by knowing, hey, we have high caliber speakers who are coming.
And they believe in what we are doing.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
This is what actually gives me the energy. Confirming, we do, for me, was the validation of the idea and what we discovered. And we did get that validation, and that gives you the drive. Of course, you say no to sleep, but when you do something that you believe in, you find the energy.
Yeah. But don't get us wrong. We still take our time, and oftentimes remind each other, hey, we need to slow down or rest.
We close the laptops. And just don't do anything.
Exactly. But I think it's that, you know, knowing that it's an idea worth pursuing and that there's quite a lot of people believing in it and supporting it. So that's just a big motivator.
Yeah, I know because you asked me as well to write an article. So you are making a book.
Yes.
For the conference.
Not necessarily us, actually. We all do the book.
That's the idea coming from to keep the community or to keep something special from the conference?
I think it's combination.
It's both. You know, we're like, hey, instead of putting out handouts or, you know, resources coming from speakers, why not, you know, make it as a collective already, you know, create something out from everyone's inputs.
A real resource, actually.
Yeah.
Not a flyer that's for sure will be thrown away.
Exactly. Yeah. So to make it, again, we go by the very ethos also of the of base is to share knowledge. So what better way to share knowledge than to have a physical book where you can, you know, think about, oh, I listened to this person talk, let me go back again, you know.
Remind myself.
Yeah, what were the strategies that were shared? So it's more of that, you know. And of course, it does bind the community, you know, making people know more about the speakers, and also what they're doing, and see what, you know, where it can go from there. Say for example, they need help on sales and marketing, for example, or on finance, so they can have already a list of people that they can immediately look up to.
We don't think will be a salesy book. We are very keen in having objective content. We do believe, both of us, we do believe in this. And because we do it from, we don't do this for money, actually we do finance all this. But we do it because we want to create this community and this exchange of knowledge. So we are not approving any of the articles that is salesy. Everything has to be, you need to share your knowledge. So the articles will be very objective and providing this content. And of course, you're going to have at the end the names and the companies if you you will be able to get in touch. But it's about knowledge.
So now, because always in this Business of Collaboration podcast, we are asking questions about personal life. Because we believe like one part is the person in a professional way, but the other is the person himself. So, and to work together and to collaborate and to have a very good relationship, always you have to have a personal match.
Mm-hmm.
So how your mornings look like?
She's not much of a morning person. I'm a morning person, which is interesting because most of the other collaborations that I've had is also the same. So for me, I do have a morning routine. So it would be waking up, writing in my journal, which is just by the bed. Then you do your entire brushing. Right now, I've added oil pulling to that routine. And then it's that I do want my at least 30 minutes of quiet where people are still sleeping. So it can either be around, you know, 6:30 in the morning, or even earlier, but yeah, for me that's my time, my alone time.
Mm-hmm. Coffee or tea?
I don't drink coffee.
No coffee for that.
I shouldn't drink coffee.
And tea?
Not so much as tea, just water. And that's it. But for me, it's the writing, the morning journal. That's the most important.
I do admire Lana for doing this, and I'm trying to incorporate it, but as she said, I'm not a morning person. I do have a routine. I do wake up, and I'm trying to wake up like 6:37, and everything starts with coffee. So nothing is happening, and I do need, as Lana said, the 30 minutes in which I'm not talking with anyone. I'm just doing my coffee and enjoying my coffee and maybe some music, but it's just my moment.
Mm-hmm.
And then life can start.
So the other question is, what is your favorite place for going on holidays?
That's a good question. I would say home is where, you know, home, wherever home is, that's a holiday for us. I'm originally from the Philippines, and I still have my brother that's there. but I don't see it as a favorite place for holidays. You know, so it's
all experts are gonna say that when you go home.
Exactly.
It's not a holiday.
But for me, it's just where my family is. You know, even if it's just at home, we're really quite a homebody in that sense, or even if it's just driving somewhere in the car. So it's not really the destination, but it's the journey that you go through together. That for us is a holiday.
I agree with Lana. I would just, for me, it depends on where I am. Like if I'm exhausted, and lately when we go on holiday, we are just exhausted. And we tend to go to very quiet places, either nature or beach or whatever, but to just relax and breathe and just enjoy each other's company. And yeah, it changed. I think it when I was young, I wanted to visit cities or things like that.
Probably
in 2 years' time, we're going to change again.
Yeah, maybe to have this detox from all the work and all the connectivity we have now. Like, of course, 4 years ago, everything was completely different. We had not internet or mobile phones all the time with us.
Yes.
So now holidays is quite different. It's not now like going to have more movement around us or more connectivity.
And I think it's the intentionality that goes in on a holiday, like, okay, really thinking about what do we want to do. Now I have a 10 and a 12-year-old, so holidays for us is a family affair. So what we do is at the start of the year, we have that asking the kids, what do you want to experience for this year? So they'll throw off ideas, what they want. You know, their biggest dream for this year is to go to Greece. So hopefully after the conference, that is something that we can do. But yeah, that you know, for us, it's the things that we do together.
I agree. For me, it's what I want is quietness. So it doesn't really matter if I go in somewhere remote, but I do took some educating myself actually to just don't take the laptop or don't open the laptop in just in case it's a fire that you need to put out.
So you're very busy, but how do you like to spend your weekends or your spare time?
Aside from cleaning at home, because that doesn't get done during the week. It will just be, for me, it's just with family, you know, or with friends, either having friends over or going to friends' place. So that's our weekend. We normally have a rule that if we do one day outside of the home, then the next day we stay home. So that's our, you know, that's our rule. So if we go out on Saturday, then Sunday it's more of a rest day.
We usually, if I'm really exhausted, I just want to be home without the phone and read a book and relax. Or we like to go in nature to take some walks or see some friends. But it's the same, like low-key, because the week is very active and very, the rhythm is extremely fast. And we tend to have quite long hours. So for me, the weekend needs to be quiet to be able to recharge. It doesn't really matter what you do, you just need to be a quiet rhythm.
Yeah.
So now the two last questions is about more podcast. So do you have a favorite podcast?
I don't really listen that much, though. One of the podcasters that I like, and one writers as well, is Jonathan Fields. He is from the Good Life Project.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more of a self-development type that I go for.
I'm quite new with the podcast, I have to admit. I do have, it's actually a YouTuber. I know Casey Neistat, and he created a podcast together with his wife, Candice Paul. She's a jewelry designer and has a specific brand. And I do enjoy listening to that podcast. They're very funny and very witty. And recently I read the book. I love to read, and I think everybody heard about Freakonomics and I discovered they actually have a podcast, probably. Everybody knew about it except me. But I do enjoy that one.
Mm-hmm. So, and then who would you like to interview in this Business of Collaboration podcast?
Mm, good question.
That's a good one.
So international, or we have quite a lot in our, you know, pool of speakers. We are
also having a radio broadcast, radio
broadcast. Amsterdam.
Thank you. being present, but maybe we should arrange that.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, because it's easy now to say, this one, then we put them in the spot. I mean, I am thinking as well to build a community afterwards.
Yes.
You know, to help as well in this process.
Yeah, we would definitely start, not stop with the strategy sessions. There will be every quarter after the conference.
We already have a couple set up.
Okay.
And we do want to organize more than that. So it depends also on what people need. And this why... we created the survey, and I do want to emphasize, please do share, because it's a community. That means it's our vision, but it's a community, so we want to collaborate, we want to work with you, we don't want to come up with our own point of view. And if you really want to make a change, you do need to understand and to come up with more ideas. We do have a couple of ideas, and we're gonna share them during the conference, so please do. Everyone, make sure you'll be there, and we're gonna follow up afterwards. But it's just the starting point. Okay. We are already discussing to bring this conference in different countries: Spain, Finland, and UK. So, and especially for companies that are interested in growing in different markets or expanding to different countries, we are willing. I'm a connector. Lana is also a connector, and we do like to put people in contact. We do believe in that, and we do want to do this also through base. So we are figuring out the way to go.
So thank you very much.
Thank you.
And see you on the 29th of May.
Yes, 29th for sure. Yeah, at the Perol Theater.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. As usual, you can find us a map of this podcast with pictures and interviews at noco.net. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our account is Noco Platform. See you next month.